Mark Ballard, Capitol Bureau Chief for The Advocate, is now in-house. He's in the house that Huey built. And good morning to you, Mark Ballard.
Morning, all alone in the house that Huey built,
yeah,
by the way.
The state is basically shut down today because we might have some bad weather.
Yes, indeed. And the schools are out, apparently, and the state government is down. The doors at the Capitol are locked. Mm-hmm. So I guess we need to batten down the hatches, but no rain yet.
Well, people in Minnesota told me a few years ago when Jesse Ventura was governor there that he made state workers go to work in a driving snowstorm, about 10 inches of snow, and he got on the air and said, "Folks, we live in Minnesota. Act like it." And in Louisiana, we should be able to handle a rainstorm, shouldn't we?
Well, and this will probably cause a storm of protest, but I kind of agree with him on this. I mean, it's rain, right? That's what we do. So.
But we're always looking for a way to take a day off. But Mark Ballard never
I wish my bosses would hear that as well.
You never take a day off. And it's a happy time at The Advocate because earlier this week, The Advocate won the Pulitzer Prize. Only six of those have been given to Louisiana newspapers. Four, Picayune, won the state's item in New Orleans. And now The Advocate has won one, and it's a story that you covered. It was not a story that involved Mark as a writer, but nonetheless, you did cover this issue, and I think it was because of The Advocate, largely, that the law was changed.
I would say that largely because of The Advocate, the law was changed. It was covered by our investigative unit. They were the ones that came up with, I guess, the salient point was that that this little bitty part of the law requiring for unanimous juries was put in during a Jim Crow era, and they were able to find where they said, yes, this will keep the black people down back in the 1880s. And I just found it just terribly interesting that this sort of little tiny vestige of Jim Crow that has been in our law for 100 years or more and had such a massive impact, and we didn't really recognize it. Much of the argument here at the state capitol was, well, we've always done it this way. You know, I mean, why are we changing? And I think that what the investigative unit here at The Advocate was able to point out was that, yes, it was a vestige that had wide sweeping impact, but we didn't really recognize it. And I think that's kind of an important story to point out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the Pulitzer Committee is always looking for stories that enact change. And in this case, it did change. And Louisiana now requires unanimous juries. And the state of Oregon, surprisingly, is the only state that does not. And a listener noted, how in the world did Oregon get involved in this? They did not have the same issues with the Civil War that we had here in Louisiana. I don't know, Mark.
I don't know either. I find that interesting as well. You know, and why are they holding on to it? I have a friend who's a law professor at Rutgers University in New Jersey, who said that he had been teaching this as an outlier as part of his criminal constitutional classes, and he can't really tell me either why Oregon has done it and why they keep holding on to it.
Well, we noted going into the show that moments before we went on air, Attorney General William Barr said he and his deputy disagreed with some of the special counsel Robert Mueller's legal theories as he described how the nation's top law enforcement officials wrestled with investigating President Trump for possible obstruction of justice. Barr spoke to reporters in advance of the release of the redacted 400-page Mueller report submitted last month, concluding his investigation, which has gripped the White House, at times the country, since Mueller's appointment as special counsel nearly 2 years ago. A few days ago, I heard our junior senator, John Neely Kennedy, saying, just let Bill Barr do his job. Well, some are saying, Mark Ballard, is his job to protect the president, or is it to protect the American people? I think there is a valid reason to ask that question.
I think there is a valid reason to ask that question, and I guess we'll see. You have to kind of remember, I mean, you and I can remember, we were just children at the time, but Watergate played out in many of the same ways of the Justice Department and the government's the administration's leaders who are trying to protect the president and saying a lot of things were just unconstitutional and unnecessary. But in the end, it all kind of got played out. It all kind of got released. And I have a feeling that something similar is going to be happening here.
Well, when Jeff Sessions was under fire by the president, the initial choice for attorney general by Donald Trump, he said, "Where is my Roy Cohn?" That was the president talking about Roy Cohn, the lawyer who represented Joe McCarthy during the McCarthy hearings. It appears that he may have found his Roy Cohn in Bill Barr.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that, but I know that the William Barr is a good lawyer, and he's doing what good lawyers do and representing their clients.
877-217-5757. We're going to continue with Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, and as we've noted, it's going to be really surprising if any Louisiana congressman, short of Cedric Richmond, pile on the president today. My guess is that, if anything, they will be saying this shows evidence that the president has been exonerated.
I would suspect that's exactly what they're going to be saying. They're circling the wagons.
Well, we're going to see where it goes, and tomorrow we'll have Dan Moldea, the investigative reporter, the same gentleman who helped change the careers of Newt Gingrich and Bob Livingston, and he of course is a guy who got David Vitter's phone number on the Washington Madams list as well, and he's looking over the report as we speak, and we'll get his report tomorrow. And we'll go to the phone lines with Mark Ballard about this and more after we take a short break right here on WRKF. And again, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, 877-217-5757 is your number wherever you are. And you can always send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org. But there will be stories, of course, throughout the day. And today the Attorney General did say that he had no aversion to Bob Mueller himself going before Congress to talk about his report. We're back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757 for Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, the Pulitzer Prize-winning Advocate. And come May 1st, it'll be 6 years since John Georges bought the newspaper. And I think if things go according to plan, we'll have Peter Kovacs. That's not far away. After all, today is the 18th day of April. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Mark Ballard. Hi, Dan.
Hi, yeah, Mr. Ballard. Does Barr's presentation this morning permit the argument of every criminal defense lawyer in the country that his client was frustrated when he engaged in nefarious activity?
Dan's a good attorney, but some people believe that Barr is he's acting more like a defense lawyer than the attorney general. Mark, would you like to expand on that?
Well, I don't know how I could, but I mean, it seems that way. I mean, he's certainly representing the president's interest in this.
877-217-5757. Otto in Park Forest. Hi, Otto. Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
Just want to say, longtime listener, great fan.
Thank you.
And I just want to say a big congratulations to the, you know, the Advocate for getting that award. And also, with the report, what do you think they're actually going to delete from it, and what is exactly expected from this?
All right, Mark, the redaction. Okay,
I think he's redacted out of the Mueller report is what, and, you know, thanks for the congratulations on it. It's always good to get recognition for the hard work that we do. So I'm imagining that what will be redacted, at least what he is saying, is that things that would show grand jury testimony that should be kept private and security issues. That's kind of what he was saying. But when you start redacting, it's hard to keep a clear and mind that was the only thing that was taken out.
Well, remember when the Star report was issued, there was nothing redacted. It ran in total in newspapers across the country, including The Advocate. And the President of the United States was subpoenaed and testified in that case. But Robert Mueller, the man that was attacked by the President, never subpoenaed Donald Trump. And, Mark, that is a bit of a surprise.
Well, I mean, I find it surprising. Of course, I was not a party to all of that, so I'm not sure exactly what the reasoning was behind it. But I suspected, that that was what was going to be happening, because you recall that the impeachment proceedings really against Bill Clinton really came about because of a lie that he told during that testimony. But I was, I was surprised that that Donald Trump was not asked to explain himself before Robert Mueller.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see how this shapes up, and there's the political battle. We do have an election in a year and less than 7 months now, and the president, I'm sure, will portray this as total exoneration, and Democrats will be saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't an exoneration by a long shot. Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, it continues to amaze me that no matter who speaks on with regard to this report, everybody continues to doubt and doubt and doubt and doubt. And in the case of President Clinton, who was perjured in front of Congress and not impeached, even though articles of impeachment were presented, he left scot-free without any problems and without anybody doubting the veracity or accuracy or thoroughness of Ken Starr. So why don't you just let it go? Let it be. Nothing happened. President Trump has been exonerated.
Okay. I'm not sure that's what's happened. And by the way, the Senate... In the Clinton case, though, I do want to say the Senate voted that there was no perjury. So the House voted for perjury, but... not surprisingly, at that time, the House was controlled by the Republicans and the Senate was controlled by the Democrats. And now we have a reversal of that. But, Mark, go ahead.
Well, I can't speak to everything that he said, but one thing that I can say is that that misapprehensions that people have about the report come about because of the redactions and the lack of transparency that has surrounded this process. And I always, as a reporter, so take it for what it's worth, that if you put it out there honestly and fairly, then that takes care of your problems of all these questions that keep coming up.
And there is one legal analyst who I've heard in the last few days saying that more than half of the report may be redacted. I don't know that that's going to be the case. We'll soon find out. But if over half of it is not available, it makes it harder to interpret exactly what Bob Mueller was stating in his report.
If there's nothing to hide, then they should just release the entire thing unredacted. But again, I'm a reporter, and I'm all for transparency.
Well, the taxpayers paid for that report, and it would seem the taxpayers should have the honor of receiving the full report, whether it exonerates the president or perhaps incriminates him. We need to know what's in that report. After all, we're talking about the leader of the free world here. But politics, pardon the pun, trumps everything, and I don't think this is any exception. And you're going to have John Neely Kennedy out there probably as a hearty supporter of the president saying that this exonerates him. And then in the House, the lone Democrat, Cedric Richmond, will probably be saying, hey, even though there was no, quote, conspiracy that was specified by Bob Mueller, there was collusion with the Russians. There was contact with the Russians. We know that. And I guess the question, it's like what Bill Clinton said, Mark, what's the meaning of is?
Right.
What's the meaning of collusion?
Right, exactly. And I think that's what this is all going to be coming down to.
Okay. A story in today's Advocate by Elizabeth Crisp. The Supreme Court has been asked to throw out Louisiana's abortion law. This is another time where we're on the forefront of a sensitive issue in this country.
We will be. This apparently will be the first time the Supreme Court will take up a major abortion issue with all of President Trump's nominees for the Supreme Court on hearing it. This one has to do with a law that was passed and and signed into law by the governor that requires the physicians at these clinics to have hospital privileges within 30 miles. A similar law was thrown out in Texas with the on the argument that the size of Texas is such that if you put that 30-mile limit in, that you would be forcing women to who engage in what is a legal procedure to drive hundreds of miles to have it done. Jerry Smith, who was wrote the opinion for the Fifth Circuit that they will be looking at, said that that's not the case in Louisiana. And so it'll be our law that's going to be argued before the Supreme Court sometime this year.
And we started today by talking about Joe Oliva out at LSU and Scott Woodward coming back to his homeland from Texas A&M. This is a story that has legs, and I guess the question mark is whether there will be other shakeups at LSU.
Well, there certainly is talk about that. I mean, the way that they LSU handled Oliva raises plenty of questions about transparency, as we were discussing. They were certainly top officials were certainly saying up until the meeting in which this was all decided that, oh, no, Oliva's fine. He's going to be here forever kind of thing. And we come to find out that that wasn't the case at all. They were not telling the truth.
Well, Joe Oliva is gone, and I'm not even sure he's going to have a final press conference. It is amazing a man could be here. Go ahead.
No, he's not really gone as much as he's going to be taking another position as a special assistant to President F. King Alexander. And so they'll look at it at least throughout until his contract is finished. You know, so they may be looking at it as, well, you know, he just got a promotion, and we don't always have press conferences for people who have promotions.
Well, the same thing was done to Paul Dietzel in 1982. He was made a special assistant to Jim Wharton, the man who fired him, and he didn't last long. Dietzel couldn't stomach that, and ultimately he left, and he ended up going to Samford as athletic director. But my guess is that Oliva is biding his time until he gets another offer.
Well, and they're biding their time until the contract, there's a payout clause if he gets fired without cause. And I imagine that they're waiting for that to go by. I don't know but that seems to be the logical explanation.
In this case, Oliva doesn't earn what a football coach does, but he still makes over $600,000 a year, so LSU, I'm sure, would rather not have to pay that for a man who's not going to work. But obviously, if he's making that kind of money, which I presume he would as an assistant to the president, he will be a very high-paid assistant to King Alexander.
He will be. He will be. I'm interested to see what Scott Woodward, who is getting paid upward over $900,000, close to $1 million a year, what we're going to be paying him.
I think it'll be over $1 million a year. And as noted, Texas A&M, Mark, has a $12.6 billion endowment. LSU's endowment, $499 million. And LSU managed to get the athletic director from College Station to come here. It is a coup.
To come home.
Come home,
to be fair.
That's right. That's probably why it happened. I'm sure it is. Mark, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today. We'll call on you next week.
Okay, thank you, sir.